WWIV, quarter to 6:33 degrees, a snowy morning, and Jason Cans with First Thoughts, best 5 minutes of the day. Might not be the most cheery, but it may be a bit emotional and inspirational this morning, because somewhere between the death of Rush Limbaugh and a bunch of other things and the car crash of Tiger Woods at age 45, you got an email that, well, you saw an email yesterday that you texted me about. What was that?
Yeah, so we got an email from Larger Story, which is the current ministry of Larry Crabb, and it was to dear friends of Larry Crabb, thank you again for prayers for the Crabb family and the ongoing legacy of Dr. Larry Crabb. We're grateful for you, especially at this time when Larry's health is continuing to decline, and the family has called in hospice care to keep Larry comfortable during his last days, and he's resting at his new condo with Rachel and the family near Charlotte, North Carolina, near the home of his youngest son, Ken. And so they kind of go on and talk about this decision to kind of reduce or to stop the medical interventions and just comfort care at this point. Mm-hmm. And so this is a big gut punch, I think, for me, and I suspect for you as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, just to say, I met you 10 years ago. I think we remember, and it was an event you had at your house, and our Liberia ministry was kicking off 2011. But it was 2014 when you were at one of Larry's schools of spiritual direction, which he did 70-some before just recently they said, all right, he's not going to do any more of those in person. But we had still hoped he would have a much longer stretch. And then, right. I don't know, I feel like from that point on to even recently, the Lord, the personal infinite God, has just been bringing us closer. And Larry Crabb's such a huge part of that connection that you and I have.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I think I had texted you, and I was at School for Spiritual Direction, and Larry had mentioned his favorite radio host and said Mark Halverson, and I was like, hey, I know that guy. Mm-hmm. And then I messaged you, and we got together and talked after that, and I agree. I think our relationship certainly took a big jump because of Larry Crabb, but it has deepened so much more since then, and I am infinitely grateful to Larry for that. Even though he didn't even really engineer it. So,
yeah, I just think 30 years ago, Christian counselor Rob Gillette had said, hey, you should check out this book, Inside Out. And from that point on, I mean, that became my favorite book. He was my favorite author. He became a favorite guest that I interviewed umpteen times. And to have him say, an even better way I like to take the comment is he says I was his favorite interviewer. So anyhow, put that on my tombstone. I'll be happy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyhow, you had given me a number of months ago, like, I don't know, you try to respect somebody's privacy, but you'd given me Larry's text number, maybe the summer. And I just hadn't texted and yet it was still on my mind, Jason. And one of the things that's frustrating for me is, I mean, there's two books I haven't interviewed about. The latest one and the one before that about when God's ways don't make any sense. And so, and right now, that doesn't look like that's going to happen. So I did finally text yesterday again, emotion was kind of overwhelming me.
Yeah.
And I just said, I want to share that. And then his wife responded. So I said, dear Larry, thank you so many O's, so much for a life and ministry so well lived. From your tremendous books to our many interviews to your conferences to being your friend to the loving, gracious, kind, and thoughtful way you always responded to me and all our callers. You were truly the best. I'll forever feel pride over you calling me your favorite interviewer, as you are my favorite guest. I look forward to doing many more interviews with you in heaven. Love always, Mark Halverson. And then I had to say, I left that and I thought, you know, what was it that, I don't know. I just felt like it was like if Michael Jordan said, hey, you can be my buddy, you'd feel like, but I'm just, you know. But then his wife responds and she says, Mark, Rachel here, answering messages to Larry after we read them to him. Mark, I know everything you said was from your heart. Thank you. I know because you are so upfront and have loved Larry for years, even way back when I talked to you on the phone, way before I knew you, and you told me nice things about my man. He's definitely following the downward markers, according to hospice literature, toward his heavenward, capital letters, home. He has quit eating, but is still hydrating. So.
Yeah, that's touching. And it's interesting. I don't know if you're on the Larry Crabb appreciation board, but people have been posting for the last 12 hours over and over, just how much Larry has touched them. Mm. And, you know, and that's a public board. So if folks are interested, they can go check that one out. And
so that's on Facebook?
His legacy
that's on Facebook.
Amazing.
That's on Facebook?
Yep, on Facebook.
All right.
It's called Larry Crabb Appreciation Group or something like that.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
But, yeah, and I think that's true for, you know, he's had such a deep impact on you and on me and on many, many, many other people. And yeah. I'm grateful. I hope to carry some of that legacy forward.
I can think about the conference in Appleton in 94 where he stands in front of these, I don't know, hundreds, thousands, and he's just like, I'm a mess and so are you. Nobody said that then, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, and it was just, it's always been that realness. And when I say my favorite guest of 24 years of doing talk radio, and I interviewed some, you know, from Elizabeth Elliott to all sorts of folks.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is that he, it felt like it came from a deeper, more sincere place for him, you know? And so you knew exactly what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. I think he was an honest struggler. And, you know, and I, even in one of, I think maybe for God's Way or When God's Ways Make No Sense, I had written an endorsement for that book and talked about how he kind of led us into, this deeper place. He led us there, and I still think that's true. So,
who am I? He asked me to write a book endorsement along. Yeah. We both did for A Different Kind of Happiness, you know?
Yeah, so. And still one of my favorite books of his, A Different Kind of Happiness.
No, it is. So anyhow, 66 Love Letters is incredible too, and people still.
Yeah.
In fact, I just recommended that to a friend within the last month. He'd been listening to it and just loving it. And this conversation with God through all 66 books of the Bible. Well, David Meese was helped by Larry Crabb, and he in fact took and wrote a song. We've played it before coming out of this about the book Inside Out. So, Jason, thank you again. Prayers for Larry and his family as he's in hospice here. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Back to Geisler with 4 seconds.
Katie Ruff out there.
With three, with two, with one. And get on your feet, Chippewa Falls. The McDonald Central Lady Macs are going to state.
That was Saturday, and that was a lot of fun to be there for that moment. First time in program history since joining the WIAA, the McDonald Central Lady Macs going to state and going along with them on our sister station, WOGO, tomorrow.
Yeah, and so now is that when, does the tournament start there today or tomorrow then?
Tomorrow it starts.
Tomorrow.
So Division 5 is all being played in one day, so the ladies have a game at 12:35. We'll have a 12:05 pregame, and then hopefully, if they get the win against Assumption, they are going to be going on to the championship game that night.
Now, it's exciting for the girls, the coaches. I mean, and so high school sports, sometimes we'll hear ads, I think, on WIB and WOGO, and maybe people hear it elsewhere in terms of it. And it really is great. I mean, it really is in terms of building life lessons and character and camaraderie and fun and so much of that. And so from the hardwood to the banquet, the season-ending banquet, I was at the Eau Claire North banquet last night because early into the season, Michael it had quite an interest in the weight room, and one thing led to another, and it was like he said yes to being a wrestler.
Sure.
And anywhere between 126 and 132 pounds, and so getting some recognition last night, and I know you and I have both been to a lot of the basketball and football banquets, but first wrestling banquet I've ever been to, and Coach Rebhan does a great job, and boy, he's got quite the staff, supporting staff alongside of him. And developing a deeper appreciation. And then near the end of the night, there's two final awards. And one of them is the Guts Award. It says, someone that always gives their best effort, never quits, and competes with courage. And then the dramatic announcement, and I wish I had the video rolling because they said, congratulations to Michael Halverson.
Wow.
There he was, ninth grader, one of the four freshmen on the team. And he'd gotten recognized for one of the things as he, you know, joined the team late. And I'd like to talk to the coach more, like, hey, talk to me more about what you saw in our son with this. But apparently there's a wrestler, I think from Hudson, that hadn't been brought down, it sounds like, in a long time, until Michael actually brought him down. He's
All
like ranked seventh. And nobody else brought him down until the sectional final. So
wow.
There's Michael as a freshman.
There's a lot of promise there.
Yeah. So anyhow, keep working at whatever your sport is. And the coaches said the best way to prepare for your next sport is play another sport. So there
right.
you go.
I know all the coaches that we talked to, they love having three-sport athletes, three-sport athletes, and saying,
it's rarer and rarer. So,
you know, there's plenty of time for specialization later on, but enjoy this, and parents, enjoy it too, because man, those years go fast.
They do.
It's that time of week again here on WWIB where we are family. It's the WIB Wake Up Show with Caleb and Halvo, and we've kind of had this become our tradition right around quarter before eight on Wednesday mornings, Halvo. We're trying to say, hey, what's something that peeves you? What's a pet peeve where you say, man, that just kind of annoys me? And we put it to song to make you look at the lighter side of life.
I think people really look forward to it. It's kind of the middle point of the week, right? We're about the middle of the show and the middle day of the week. So here we go.
All right. So this one came from, and this was a bit of a test. This came from Julie from Rice Lake, but it looks like on our Facebook page, a few other people agree with her as well. And we asked, what's your pet peeve? Because I was looking for some more material. And she just said simply, crumbs in the butter dish. And I thought, what do I do with that?
Yeah.
What do I do with that? And I can get the annoyance. But how in the world do I make that into a song? So, Julie, here's my best effort. Julie says, consider when you are making toast, you could be the object of another Caleb roast. Please just think of others, don't be a lazy bum. When she checks the butter dish, there better not be crumbs. We're from Wisconsin, for crying out loud. Honor the butter. Protect the butter. It's not that hard. Did Thanos snap his fingers? Did it disintegrate? Why is half your toast in here and not upon your plate? While you're eating breakfast, this simple rule applies. Keep that butter clean and life expectancies will rise. Power to the... There you go. Pet peeve song for Julian Rice Lake this morning. Crumbs in the butter dish.
There you go. Very creative.
That was an effort. I did what I could.
This will all make sense when I am older. Someday I will see that this makes sense.
Ages, our topic this morning on the WIB Wake Up Show, and apparently there is an ideal age that I have not yet reached.
Yeah, I saw this yesterday, and I'm looking at it now on YouGov, but basically it's official. 36 is the ideal age.
Really? So yeah. I've got a few years left
you do.
To go.
Yeah, there you go. It is 20 years in my rearview mirror, but the average ideal age selected by people is 36 years old, but it's 29 for physical health and 51 for wisdom.
Here's the thing. I'm not anywhere close to wisdom, and I know my physical health is in the rearview mirror.
Right.
So,
yeah. Calculating the ideal age, not as simple as it sounds. Younger people have a significantly higher than average number of friends. However, according to various analyses, older people are more likely to be satisfied with their physical appearance, less likely to be stressed, and although life satisfaction declines from the mid-20s, it peaks again around 69.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is interesting
stuff. You're closer
to that. Yeah, I have that to look forward to. Older is often, but not always, better. And YouGov research confirms this. So there's a relatively high level of consensus in the best overall age. 36 is the average age chosen, with the range of average responses per age group varying by 15 years. It's interesting. If you're 18 to 24, you think the ideal age is 27. But if you're over 65, you think, oh, yeah, if I could only be 42. So,
all right. So there you go.
Yeah. And when YouGov asked the question, in Germany and the U.S., the average ideal ages given were 37 in Germany and 34 respectively. So,
all right.
And finally, when it comes to the ideal age in terms of wisdom, yes, 51, the average age per generation ranging from 49 to 56. So there you go.
There we go. Olaf, take us out.
I'll just dream about a time when I'm in my aged prime. Because when you're older, absolutely everything matters.
Well, you know, during the pandemic in the last year, there have been various references back to 1918. But one unique, special woman, Lucia DeClercq, she survived them both. Yes, the Spanish flu and now coronavirus.
Wow.
How did she do it? How did she live to 105? Well, here's her answer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. One step at a time. No junk food. Yeah, that's
All right.
what she says. Born in 1916 in Hawaii, To parents who came from Guatemala and Spain, Lucia lived through the Spanish flu, two world wars, and the deaths of three husbands and a son. She moved to Wyoming, California, and back to Hawaii before finally arriving in Jersey, where she lived with her oldest son. After turning 90, she moved. That's when life begins, actually.
Sure.
She moved to an adult community along the Jersey shore.
She wasn't in the show.
Uh-uh. Good one. Where she remained active until she injured herself in a fall about 4 years ago.
I just want to know what she might have been doing. Parasailing? Yeah. Climbing rocks?
Lucia, the oldest resident of her nursing home, learned that she had contracted the coronavirus on her 105th birthday back on January 25th, the day after she'd gotten her second dose of the Pfizer vaccine. At first, she said she was scared. She didn't like being isolated, and she missed the daily chatter from the parade of caregivers at the nursing home. She showed few symptoms, and within a couple weeks, she was back in her room. And she's wearing her trademark sunglasses and her knit hat.
One more health tip that she gives as well. Brush your teeth with baking soda.
She didn't have a cavity till she was 99.
Wow.
I do brush my teeth with baking soda. I have for a number of years. Somebody, Karen Hurd, had said it's helpful in terms of kidney stones, which I haven't had one problem with that in years now. But I got to say, I've had some cavities over the years. So.
Man, not a cavity until you're 99.
I know it. That's amazing.
Just hope I last that long.